The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso. And you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. For those of you that are listening this weekend, you'll know that we just finished celebrating Thanksgiving here in America. And man, we have so much to be thankful for. And I want to encourage you, maybe many of you spent time with your families, maybe some of you spent time watching football. But something that we have to always keep in mind is that we should always be thankful to the Lord. Thanksgiving should be just as much about thanking and honoring God for his goodness and the good things that he's done as anything else. And we really should set aside some time to really just thank God for the things that he's doing. You know, it says in Psalms chapter 136, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, his love endures forever." And this psalm goes on and on and on about the greatness of God's love and how we need to be thankful and we need to honor God. And then it says in verse 23, it says, "He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And he freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. So give thanks to God of heaven. His love endures forever." You see, God, even when we were in the lowest of states, even when we were so wicked and we were sinners, God remembered us. He noticed us and he said, "You know what? That person, I love them so much that I am willing to go to the cross and die for them." And we just got to remember the love of God. And the truth is, guys, God is stirring up revival here in America. He has been setting the stage, and now more than ever, this generation is ready for revival. And you might wonder, well, Josh, how can you say that? Because the truth is, many young people are desperately looking for the real thing. They are looking for something that is true, that is meaningful, that is real. Because everything that they can find, you go on Netflix, you go on the news, you go through the music, it's all empty, it's all worthless. Right? Maybe for a time, it might give you pleasure. Maybe for a time, you might feel happy. But deep down, there is this longing within us where we are longing to encounter God. And those that don't know God yet, they're still searching, right? They look left and right and up and down and everywhere they go. They're looking for it. They're looking for the real thing. And I think really this generation now, more than ever, is so desperate for the real thing, because people out there in the world, man, they're more depressed than ever. They're more anxious than ever. They're more confused than ever. Because, you know, basically from a young age, in the school system, in media, in movies and music, everywhere they look, in social media, right? It's just feeding lies and lies and lies. And people are getting so confused and so lost. They are so desperate because they want the real thing. Okay, so the harvest fields, they're ripe. They are ready for a move of God, which means it's time now for the body of Christ to rise up. It is time for us to be that light that God called us to be, right? So while all those people, they're lost, they're confused, and they're searching, we have the opportunity to be the light that will point the way towards Christ. And you have to understand, for those people around you, maybe amongst your friends, maybe amongst your family members, you may be their only connection to God. You may be the only opportunity for the light of God to shine in their life. So we have to make that choice that I will be the light that God called me to be, right? And this is something that's so important to understand, because in Genesis chapter 1, The scripture tells us that God looked out at the earth and the earth was formless and void. Okay, it was void and there was just darkness. But amongst that situation that looked kind of bleak, God saw what could be. He saw what could be there. And he said, let there be light. Okay? So those people that are lost, that are searching for the truth, we should not look at them as they are right now. We have to look at them with God's eyes to who they are called to be in Christ. Because you have to look at maybe your own life. Right? Think of what you were like before you knew Jesus. Let's face it, most of us were a mess. Okay? We had all kinds of issues. All kinds of problems, okay? And some of us, you know, maybe we still have some problems. But when we encountered the Lord, what happened? You were transformed. You were turned into a new creation. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. It says, so from now on, we no longer regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer, right? We don't think about things in the natural anymore. We don't regard things from a worldly point of view, right? So maybe they're a mess right now. Maybe they're wicked and sinful right now. You were also a sinner at some point. And you were also a mess at some point. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. And the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And this is what we have to remember, okay? Because we talk about grace so much in Christianity. We talk about grace so much. But we understand, grace is not something you earned. You did nothing that was righteous enough to earn the salvation that God gave you, right? Because the truth is, there's nothing we could have done to earn the salvation that Christ gave us. But many Christians, they'll put these, you know, different tiers of sin, okay? Oh, well, if you're in homosexuality or if you're in transgenderism, that's worse than this other sin that I was committing, right? At least I wasn't doing that. No, it's all sin before the Lord Almighty. We can't weigh one sin as greater than the other, right? So when you were a sinner and you had all of these issues, Christ still looked at you and says, I am willing to die for that person. I am willing to go to the cross, even though they're a sinner, even though they're a mess, I'm willing to go to the cross because you know what? I love them so much that I want to embrace them in my arms and bring them to heaven with me. Okay? So as Jesus Christ gave us that grace that we couldn't earn, we have to give that grace to others, right? We have to be able to extend out that hand to others in love and point the way to Christ. And you see, God, he takes us as we are, okay? When you were first born again, you didn't understand anything about the gospel. You didn't understand anything about the Bible, but God still took you as you are, you know? And what happens is as you walk with the Lord, little by little, he'll transform you. Okay? But what a lot of Christians, what they preach and what they show to others is that, oh no, you have to walk with God this specific way, that with these specific kinds of traditions and this way of speaking and this way of living, and if you don't walk this exact way that I've envisioned it, then you're not really a Christian. Okay? All of us didn't know what we were doing when we first met God. And it's piece by piece by piece that we become a little bit more like God. And the truth is, none of us have arrived yet. All of us could learn to become holier and more godly and more righteous. So why is it that we're going to make this greater standard for other people that we ourselves do not hold ourselves to? You see, Jesus said of the Lord this. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 4, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, right? So anyone that is seeking the Lord, right? No matter how misguided it is, right? But they're earnestly seeking the Lord because they want to know God. God will answer because that's the kind of God that we serve, okay? So Especially because, look, a move of God, it's here now. And it's starting, okay? And it's already stirring up and God's moving, both amongst the young and the old. Now, there will be people coming to Christ that maybe lived all kinds of different life that maybe you don't agree with. But we have to remember that God takes them as they are. And as the Lord, as they encounter the Lord, encounter His goodness, they will also be transformed. Just as we ourselves are still being transformed, right? Let me give you a simple example of this. You see, I was listening to this interview of this husband and wife. Now, this couple, the man, he had grown up in, you know, a Catholic church, but he never really believed in the Lord, right? He just traditionally kind of attended Mass and went about his life. Now, when he met his wife, her family was Muslim. And her family said, well, if you want to get married, you have to convert to Islam. So he converted. He's like, well, you know, it's all kind of the same to me. I don't really believe it either way. So he converted to Islam and then he got married and they were living, you know, as a husband and wife for several years. Now, some intense circumstances came up regarding their family. And it was very rough, very hard for both him and his wife. And so they started seeking the Lord, right? They decided we really need to seek God because we need help, okay? But they were Muslim, right? All they knew was how to pray to Allah. That's all they knew how to do, okay? So they were praying traditional Muslim prayers out to God. It's like, God, please, we need to hear from you. We need to answer you, right? They were praying to God in the only way they knew how. And what happened is that as they were praying, something funny started happening because this couple, they said, man, this Jesus guy keeps answering. This Jesus guy keeps showing up when we're praying. You know, I thought Jesus was just a prophet, right? I thought he was just a wise man because that's what they believe in Islam. We need to learn more about this Jesus person because he keeps showing up when we're praying, right? Here they were praying as a Muslim, but they wanted to seek the Lord. They wanted to know the truth, so Jesus knew. He knew their hearts, so he showed up. And so because of this, they said, okay, well, why don't we try reading the Bible, okay? And they did this thing as a family. They said, we're going to read the Bible, and we're going to read the Quran, and we're going to figure out which is which and what's the truth, right? And as they did this, as they read the Bible, it came to life. Things just started stirring in their spirit. They came closer together as a family. And when they read the Quran, it was like nothing. There was nothing there. And so one day, one of their sons asks them, it's like, you know, Dad, Mom, I don't understand. So is Jesus, is he a prophet, like it says in this book over here, or is he the Son of God, right? Which of these books is real? Which one's correct? And the father answers his son and he says, you know, son, I don't know. And he didn't know this, but he was prophesying. He said, but if Jesus is God, he'll come into your life. He will show up if he is God. And you know what happened? Jesus did. He came into all of their lives. And in this interview, the husband and wife, they said that same month, their whole family accepted Jesus into their life. But again, they were seeking God in the only way they knew how, which was praying to Allah. But God saw their heart. He saw that they wanted to know the truth. God takes us where we are in that moment, okay? No matter how broken we are, no matter how confused we are. I was listening to another interview of a Christian couple, and they were talking about how they first met and how they came to the Lord. You see, what happened is that this husband and wife couple, the woman was a transgender man. She was living as a man. She had been taking hormones, changed her name, everything. And the husband, at the time, before they met, he was a gay man. Okay? And what happened is that the two of them met. The gay man was attracted to the transgender man because she was presenting as a man, right? So she looked like a guy. And so they were attracted to one another because they both kind of were ambiguous as far as their gender is concerned. And so they became attracted to each other, and they started dating each other. Now, at this time, they had already begun seeking the Lord again. And this is what they said, right? They were trying to make sense of everything because here they had all of the, they were attracted to these kinds of things. They were living this kind of lifestyle, but they also had come to this thing that no, God is real and there's something real about this. So they were reading their Bible. They were praying to the Lord, God, I don't understand this, right? God, you have to help me with this. And little did they know that here God was setting them up with their future husband slash wife while one of them was living as a man, even though she was a woman, and the other one was a gay man. So they got married and they were still walking with the Lord, still trying to make sense of everything. And little by little, what happened was slowly over time, the wife kind of started to become more comfortable living as a woman. And the husband, well, he got married to this woman who at first was presenting as a man, and he got comfortable being married to a woman, right? But this is something that in the interview they said happened over the course of several years. A lot of Christians, they have this preconception where, oh, well, you got saved, so now you got to change everything, right? In this instant, right? You got to fit into this box, into this image that I imagine you're supposed to live like. And you know what? Many times it's not like that. Because think about your own faith walk. Think of how far you've come since you got saved. Think of how much the Lord has changed you over the years. Every day, the Lord transforms us piece by piece by piece. And all the change that the Lord has done in you didn't happen overnight. No, it happened because you continued to walk with the Lord. So we have to extend the same grace that God gave to us when we didn't understand anything. We didn't know anything, but He still loved us. We have to understand that the same grace God gave to us, we have to give to others. Because as I said before, revival is here and it's now, brothers and sisters. And that is an exciting thing. And the other thing, too, is we have to remember we have to have compassion. So in this interview that I was talking about with the husband and wife couple, they were talking about the life that led them to where they were. And both of them, horrific childhoods were abuse, abandonment, all kinds of things. The wife, when she came to her mother because she had been sexually abused, and she told her mother, Mother, this thing happened to me. This is what happened to me. This person did this to me. And the mother looked at her daughter and she said, oh, that's why you're so screwed up. That's why you're such a mess and why you're just, everything's wrong with you. That's why you're not normal. Now imagine a mother saying that to her own daughter. But this is the kind of life that this woman lived. And you think about what her childhood must have been like. She didn't have a chance. She didn't have a chance. So it's no wonder that she might have thought to herself, oh, well, you know what? I don't want to be a girl anymore because that way at least men won't abuse me, right? There's all kinds of things that there's no way. You have no idea what people may have lived through. We have to show love and compassion to one another because many, especially in the LGBTQ community, many of them are victims. Many of them are lost, and they want to know the truth. So we have to be able to point them towards God. And you have to understand, too, Jesus, many of the disciples whom he called, some of them were outcasts, and he associated himself with people that the Pharisees, they wouldn't even look at. They would ignore. It says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector booth. And he said, follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him, right? And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And you have to understand, why didn't they like the tax collectors? It's because they were infamous for, one, charging exorbitant taxes so that they get their bigger cut, right? Overcharging over things because they would take their cut and steal and take their portion to enrich themselves. So tax collectors had a reputation for being corrupt and wicked. But so the Pharisees asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners, right? If there's going to be a revival in this nation, hey, those people that are lost, that are sinning now, they've got to discover Christ. And that's what God's calling us to do. And you see, with simple acts of grace and showing the love of the Lord, we can point the way to Christ, and many people, their hearts will be transformed. I want you to think about the story of Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus was just curious about this Jesus fellow, right? So he climbs up in this tree to try and watch Jesus, and Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down from your tree tonight. I am dining at your house. And again, here is Jesus associating with this tax collector, somebody reviled by the Jewish community at the time. But Zacchaeus was so excited, right? So he invited Jesus in, right? And he makes this feast and lays it out for Jesus. And while Jesus is sitting there, people are kind of murmuring to themselves. It says in Luke chapter 19, verse 7, it says, the people saw this and they began to mutter, oh, look, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner, right? Ooh, can you believe who Jesus is associating with? But while Jesus was dining there at Zacchaeus' house, the conviction of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the scripture tells us, Zacchaeus stood up and said this to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount, right? If I have done anything corrupt or wicked or stolen from anyone, I'm going to return it to them and four times over. And then Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, right? So Jesus said, this is also a child of God. This is also somebody that God wants to bring to salvation. Even though, yes, he was living a corrupt life, even though he was stealing from people, right, and doing all kinds of wicked things, that is a child of God that God wants to embrace in his arms and bring to salvation. And that's the heart we have to have, right? So again, we're not condoning sin. But we also have to remember that we were also sinners, and we needed a Savior just like they do. So hopefully this encourages you, because I am so excited when I look at what's happening spiritually here in America, because the harvest fields, they are ripe for harvest. God is moving, guys. And there is a hunger here in this nation for a move of God. People want the real thing, and we can be part of those who show it to them. So let's take on that heart of God, and let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in us to be amongst those that transform the nations. I really believe that we are in a great turning point in this nation's history. And if the church focuses on the Lord and obeys the Lord, this period of time that we're in right now will go down in the history books as the greatest move of God that has happened in the history of the church. And that is such an exciting thing that we get the opportunity of living. We're living in history right now, right? And I'll say this, I'll preface this by saying, if the Lord tarries long enough for it to actually go into the history books. But man, it is an exciting time that we live in. So continue to thank and praise the Lord. And again, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. If you didn't set aside time to thank the Lord, you can set aside time to thank the Lord now. Thank the Lord for his goodness and the things that he's done in your life and the things that he's doing in this nation. Because man, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. So dearly, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the words that have been released this day, God. I pray, God, that you would give all of us a heart after your own heart, Lord. I pray that you would give all of us a heart of compassion to reach and to save the lost, Lord, that we would leave aside our preconceptions, the kind of images that we built up in our own head, but instead we would embrace your ways of doing things. And I pray, God, that you would give us spiritual eyes to see. See what you see in the Spirit when we look at people and when we look at the nations, because we know, God, that you desire to bring the lost into your arms. And we desire to be among those that could be used as your mighty vessels for this great and mighty move of God. We thank you for all these things, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.